from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Very happy to have you with us today. Wow, we have a lot going on. Pardon me, I just had a delicious butterscotch candy right just moments before coming on the air, and I'm finishing that up. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, the best homemade butterscotch candies, Dinstals, my favorite Memphis chocolate store candy shop, they've got incredible. I have like an entire gallon of them downstairs. All right, enough of that. We have got so much to talk about today and a lot happening. President Trump just dropping some news, and I wanted to share this with you. This happened just moments ago. The president of these great United States now saying that Harvard University should have its tax-exempt status revoked. Now, I'm very excited to hear this news because this has been a long time coming, ladies and gentlemen. So let me set the stage for what's going on. For a good couple of years now, you have had the Ivy Leagues taking a firm stand against Jewish students on campus. And let me put a pin there for just a moment because, and I say this as a person who is of the Christian faith, yours truly loves ham. And so I am not kosher, but I want you to hear me on this. You think that how they've been treating the Jews has been bad? What they've been doing to the Christians has been just as bad, and it's been going on for decades. But nobody wants to talk about that. Not even the Trump administration. Nobody's really talking about the attacks on Christian students and the attacks on Christianity within our nation's taxpayer-funded education system. That's just, it is a cold, hard reality. And as much as we ought to be defunding all of these schools based on their behavior towards the Jews, we also ought to be doing it based on their behavior towards the Christians as well. Anyway, let's get back to this particular issue. So the issue at hand is for the past couple of years, at least since the terrorist attacks of October, you've got all of these pro-Hamas groups, the Jew haters, they're all out there causing mayhem on these campuses, and they're literally terrorizing the Jewish students. The fact that this is happening in America is just unacceptable. And we're talking about Jews that have been run off campus. They've been attacked, physically beaten, that you've got these Hamas protesters that are barging in, invading classrooms and disrupting classes. And the universities are turning a blind eye to this. So Trump said, look, here's the deal. And he was talking specifically to Harvard. Hey, look, if you keep this up, then we're going to yank your federal tax money. And so the university yesterday announced that they are going to defy President Trump, that they are not going to crack down on these anti-Semitic protests. I mean, this is mind-boggling here, just simply mind-boggling. But again, the universities, the leadership, they are either Jew haters themselves or they're terrified of the mob. And it could be a little bit of both, but and it may very well just be the mob. But regardless, it's not a good situation. So the university comes out yesterday and says, "Yeah, we're not gonna do that." And the president said, "Okay, great, no problem." So he put an immediate hold on $2 billion in funding to Harvard University. So that money now frozen, and the university, Harvard, will not be able to get access to that. But it really doesn't matter because Harvard is the wealthiest university in the world. And are you ready for this? Harvard gets about $9 billion in federal money and grants. $9 billion with a B. That's according to the New York Post. And so far, Trump has only frozen $2 billion of it. Now, Obama's jumping in here. And you know, he hates the Jews. Obama hates the Jews. And he's coming out, he's praising Harvard and says that Harvard is setting an example. And he's calling for other universities to do the same thing, to just downright ignore Donald Trump. He said what Trump is doing by pulling federal funding is unlawful and ham-handed. Oh, my, that's an unfortunate term based on the situation at hand. So Obama is siding with the Jew haters. So now you've got the Education Department stepping in, Linda McMahon, and she's saying, look, here's the deal. You've got to protect the Jewish kids. That's all the Trump administration is asking these schools to do. Is this such a giant step for these people to take? It's not like we're asking you to protect the Christian kids. We're just asking, can you just let the Jewish kids go to class? Can you let them go to bed in their dorms without them being terrorized? Is that too much to ask? But apparently it's a bridge too far for the Ivy Leagues. By the way, did a little bit of research last night. You ready for this one, folks? The Ivy League schools, and these are all private, super well, they cost hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to go to these schools. The Ivy Leagues are getting $6.4 billion in federal funding. That's insanity. Your tax money is going to fund these super wealthy Ivy League schools. A lot of people were not aware of that. So the question now is, what does Trump do here? So you're basically going to have a standoff. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. It's just a standoff. Now, here's where I stand, and this is where the administration loses me. And I love our president. I think he's doing a great job. But this is where the administration loses me. I don't think we ought to be sending a single penny to Harvard University. I don't think we ought to be sending a single penny to any of these Ivy League schools. As a matter of fact, and I know the state of Maine right now has decided they're going to defy Donald Trump. Okay, fine. Well, you know what? It is time to play hardball with these people. And I say completely strip all federal funding from these schools. I mean, it's very simple. And you've got Linda McMahon out there, and you've got the Department of Education, which I thought was being dismantled, but you've got the Education Department out there, and they're saying, look, if you want this funding, you are going to do what you say. And I say, we don't want to give them the funding. We should not be sending them a single penny of our tax money. And if Harvard is really having a hard time making ends meet, then maybe if they're going to continue to discriminate against Jewish and Christian students, they can do it on their own time, or maybe they should ask Hamas for a handout. See if Hamas will fund a couple of scholarships or will endow a couple of chairs. But why should we be required to pay their bills? This makes absolutely no sense. And here's what's going to happen, folks, and we're keeping an eye on, I am personally keeping an eye on this, and here's the reason why. Because people are going to forget. The administration's going to forget. And eventually, it'll just go back to being the way it used to be. And we cannot go back to those days. We just simply can't do it. So I say this, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean this as much as I am a black and white person when it comes to illegal immigration. Everybody's got to go home. Everybody. I'm also a black and white person when it comes to this university funding. If you want to know the most dangerous schools in America, you take a look at the Ivy Leagues. Those are the people that created this chaos in our country. Those are the universities, Harvard and Yale, chief among them, Harvard and Yale. They're the ones that are educating most of the elected leaders in this country. So if you want to know why the country is screwed up, take a long, hard look at what they're teaching at Harvard and Yale, and you'll figure it out. Our good friend, the late, great William F. Buckley Jr., he was the father of the modern-day conservative movement. And many, many years ago, he wrote a book during his time at Yale, God and Man at Yale. And it was a fascinating book because back in the, was it the 50s or the 60s when that was written many years ago, William F. Buckley Jr. was explaining what was happening on the university campuses where the Christians and the Christian thought was being shoved off campus. It was being kicked off campus. And instead, you had all the secularists, you had the communists coming in and filling the void. And that's been going on for generations now. And so it's going to take a lot of time for that to get undone. You want to know how crazy things are at the Ivy Leagues right now? Harvard was originally founded for a very single, simple purpose. It only had one purpose, and that was to train up ministers of the gospel. That was why Harvard was originally created. And now Harvard is really at the center of this movement to destroy the United States of America. Oh, you could go back and Google. No, I'm serious. Harvard was originally founded to train clergy. That was it. And now you can't find God anywhere at Harvard University. All right, we've got to take a break here. So I'm just curious, am I going too far here, ladies and gentlemen? Or do you agree that we need to go ahead and start defunding these universities? I'm tired of the second chances. Don't give them any more chances. You either do it or you're defunded. Boom, we're done. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Excited to have some great guests coming up. Jack Graham is the senior pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church, and he also knows Susie Wiles, the president's chief of staff. As a matter of fact, baptized Susie in the River Jordan. We're going to have a great conversation. Also, we're going to be talking to Dr. Matt Brown, the pastor at Germantown Baptist Church, a great congregation in the Mid-South. Joe Messina is going to be here from our great affiliate, KHTS in Santa Clarita. There's an insane bailout that's happening because the healthcare system in California has been overrun by illegals. And also Dr. Peter McCullough from the Wellness Company, he's going to drop by as well. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/starns. That's angel.com/starns to join the Angel Guild now. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. York, South Carolina. Jane is on the line. Hi, Jane. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yes. I just wanted to say that regarding these campuses and the protests and stuff, this should have been just dealt with the first week. If any child, you have a right to protest, that's fine. Any student gets hurt, okay? Any destruction to student property, it's called expelled. Bye. It's like, what is the mystery?
You know, Jane, that's what's puzzling here. It seems to me this is a no-brainer, especially when you have so many wealthy Jewish donors who are pulling millions of dollars in donations. But it makes you wonder if they really are the administrators really that scared of the Muslims? Because ultimately, and Jane, this is something nobody likes to talk about, but by and large, these protests are being funded and supported by Islamists. So you wonder, is that what they're afraid of? Are they afraid of getting blown to smithereens?
Well, you know, afraid or not, okay, I mean, this has got to stop, okay? The Jewish kids are told, okay, go on remote, okay? But then the parents are like, well, we're paying for their school and board. Why can't they be protected? This is stupid.
Well, it is stupid, Jane.
It's called just expel them. Bye. See ya.
Jane, how do you feel about your tax money funding the bills, paying the light bill over at Harvard University, a private school?
No, yeah, I know. They're just going to drown themselves.
Well,
yeah, you know, by defying Trump's orders, they're going to have more and more donors, pulling out and stuff like that. So they're just digging their own grave.
Well, they got to go. And I will say this, Jane, I will say this. Harvard and Yale have done more damage to their brand than anything else that they've done in the, you know, at least in the past 40 or 50 years. I'm not even sure that at this stage that a degree from Harvard or Yale is something that I'd be bragging about.
No, I wouldn't either.
It's like KKKU.
But like I said, it just comes down to these deans have got to start stepping up, okay? And, you know, afraid or not, you're head of that school. You're responsible for these children, kids, young adults, however you call them. It's called expelled. Bye.
Jane, we need to put you in charge of the effort. It's a lot. You got a lot of common sense here. I like this. Jane, I got to run, though, so thank you for the call. And Jane is right. How difficult is this? When the students do something like that, you expel them. And then if they refuse to obey, you have them arrested. I mean, it really is that simple. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, there's going to be a lot of blowback on this because Obama is involved. So Obama is, and Obama has a chip on his shoulder, and here's the reason why. He got smacked around by Kamala Harris. I mean, this really hurt him. It hurt his influence within the Democrat Party. Again, up until Kamala, Obama was considered to be the party elder. But now Obama is on the outs. So Obama is a wounded animal, and he's going to be lashing out at Trump as well. So what's happening is don't be surprised if you see these universities, if that's the unifying factor between all of these factions out there. You got Bernie, you got AOC out there. Oh, by the way, what was up with AOC? She has a brand new accent. She's, let's take a listen.
Donald Trump is a criminal who was found guilty of 34 felony counts of fraud, liable for sexual abuse. Of course he's lying and abusing and manipulating the stock market too. When he talks about rapists and criminals, he should look in the mirror.
Why are we talking like this, senorita? What the heck was that all about? So between her and Jasmine Crockett, I think that's her presidential voice. Because they're literally saying, I mean, this is, I am not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. And no, I have not been smoking the devil's lettuce. Hear me on this. There is a movement afoot to make Bernie Sanders and AOC the Democrat ticket in 2028. They literally want to make AOC and Bernie Sanders, they believe they are the next best hope for the Democrat Party. Can we play that again? I've got to hear that one more time.
Donald Trump is a criminal who was found guilty of 34 felony counts of fraud, liable for sexual abuse. Of course he's lying and abusing and manipulating the stock market too. When he talks about rapists and criminals, he should look in the mirror.
You can't make this up. All right, we've got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. So give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard My Pillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, folks, don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax TV. Newsmax is a news giant, folks. It's now listed on the New York Stock Exchange. And get this, over 40 million Americans are now tuning into Newsmax for the news that you need to know. And they're tuning into Newsmax on all major cable systems, Newsmax 2 on all streaming platforms. And they even go online to Newsmax.com for breaking news headlines. Millions more have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone and home TV. Reuters says Newsmax, one of the top news brands in America. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. He's watching. Tens of millions of Americans like you have made the switch to Newsmax for the news they can trust. So make the switch today, and you will never, ever look back. I want to play some audio for you. This coming from Burlington, Massachusetts. Now, parents in this town are enraged. There was an explicit survey that was given to the middle school children, and the parents, many of them, opted out, but it turns out the teachers told the children that they would not be allowed to opt out, even special needs kids. They all had to go through and take this sexually explicit survey. Take a listen.
My son came home last week, clearly shaken up, and asked to privately talk to me. He said, "Mom, we took a test today at school, but the questions were really weird. I didn't know how to answer them. I didn't want to take the test, but my teachers made me. It wasn't until I saw the questions posted on Facebook that I understood what he was talking about. This was a calculated and deliberate attack on our children's innocence and denial of our parental right to protect our minor children."
So my daughter was asked, "Have you ever had sexual contact with another person?"
I thought
sexual
you opted
contact
her out.
I did. And she told she was opted out, but she was still told the survey was mandatory. So I have screenshots from her. "Sexual contacts includes things such as kissing, touching, sexual intercourse. Have you ever had sexual intercourse, including vagina sex, which is when a penis goes inside of a vagina, oral sex, which is contact between the mouth and the genitals, anal sex, which is when a penis goes in the anus, in parentheses, butt, in the use of toys or props, vaginal or anal.
My son was opted out of this survey because clearly my husband read between the lines of the vague paragraph that was sent out on Parent Square during a random Thursday night 2 weeks earlier. But you know what? My son was forced to sit in the class with his friends who were not so lucky. His best friend turned to him and pointed to a question on the survey and asked my son, "Bro, what's this?" My son said he opened his eyes wide and said, "No idea. Google it." Google it.
I've never seen parents this outraged, and these parents showing up at a school board meeting there in Burlington, Massachusetts. That's near Boston, by the way. And they're demanding answers here. They're not getting any, but they want to know what's going on in our school districts. Now, I have a copy of the survey that was presented to the students, and everything that was read there is 100% accurate. The survey, again, for middle school students, and some of you are probably, I got to tell you, I was cringing. I was getting creeped out. But you need to understand this is what they're exposing children to. And if they're doing it in a small community like Burlington, Massachusetts, you better believe they're doing it in your local school district as well. Here are just some of the other, I mean, this is just mind-boggling to me. Why in the world would you do something like this? And why would you expose little children? One mom actually described it as mental pornography, and she's not wrong. Here's one of the questions. Which of the following terms best describes your current gender identity? And the framing of the question there is, you may have a different identity come tomorrow. The school says, we understand there are many different ways you may identify. Please pick the one that best describes you, a cisgender girl or woman, a cisgender boy or man. That's a made-up term, by the way, meaning a heterosexual, a transgender girl or woman, trans boy or man, non-binary or genderqueer. I'm not sure or questioning. I do not know what this question means. I prefer not to answer. What sex were you assigned at birth on your original birth certificate? The next question asks about your gender identity. Gender identity is how you see yourself. You can see yourself as a male, female, a mix, or both, or neither. What? It can be the same or different from the sex you were assigned at birth. Here are some helpful terms. Non-binary describes people whose gender does not fit into just male or female. Gender queer describes people whose gender doesn't match traditional roles. Many gender queer people use pronouns like they, them. This is all incredibly inappropriate for any person in high school. And here's, again, what needs to happen, and the administration needs to take immediate action here. And here's what you do. You just simply defund this school district. You take away all the federal funding. That's what you do. And then you send the police in and you say, all right, let's investigate here. Let's get to the bottom of this. So first of all, who came up with the idea of this survey? And once you identify that person, you put them in a room. And then you ask, okay, well, how many teachers in the classroom, how many of those teachers actually presented this material to the children? And then you put those teachers in the room. And then you ask, okay, well, how many school administrators, how many staffers, grown-ups, adults, anyone over the age of 21, how many of you folks were involved in the distribution of this survey? And when you find out who those people are, you put them in a room. You may have to take them to the cafe gymnatorium. I mean, it may be a lot of people. And what you do is you call for the neighboring police department to come in, and then you arrest every single one of those perverts, every single one of them. You charge them with disseminating all sorts of this information. You can charge them with crimes. child abuse comes to mind. You arrest every single one of them. You throw them in jail and let them sit there for a couple of days before you even give them bail. Make them think long and hard about what they're doing to these children. But the only way we're going to fix this problem, and it is so prevalent in this country, ladies and gentlemen, the only way we're going to fix it is if we start playing hardball here. The question is, does the country have the wherewithal to play hardball? Does the Trump administration have the wherewithal to play hardball? And I say that because here we are, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be hitting up on 100 days of the Trump administration. 100 days. Very soon. And we still don't have a lot of information coming out of the Justice Department. As a matter of fact, Steve Bannon and Tom Fitton, our friend over at Judicial Watch, very upset right now over Pam Bondi and Cash Patel. And they're saying they must do more. We still don't have any information from the Epstein files. And Bannon is fed up. He is ready for change at the Justice Department. And a lot of other conservatives are just as fired up. Here's Bannon. The situation with Cash and Bondi, a huge concern. I'm not sure you can reform the FBI. It's a systemic problem, decades deep. You need to break up law enforcement from counterintelligence. The FBI should be much smaller or shut down altogether. And what is it that we said on this program? I've been saying this before, well before the election, that we have to dismantle the entire apparatus of the FBI. But again, look at the people now calling out Pam Bondi. I got a lot of you-know-what from a lot of folks. You're just not a team player, Todd. How dare you want the Epstein list revealed? Who do you think you are? Pam Bondi knows best. All right. Well, she said it was sitting there on her desk. I just took her at her word. Steve Bannon calling Pam Bondi out, so is General Flynn, Rudy Giuliani, and, of course, Tom Fitton. So you do wonder, ladies and gentlemen, at what point is Pam Bondi going to start doing her job? Because right now, she is on Fox News Channel more than she is in her office at the Justice Department. And she's only on Fox News. So I don't know if she's auditioning for a job. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm just telling you, we've got to start playing hardball. And that is something I have seen. We're talking good talk and we're doing things here and there, but we've got to come down like a hammer on the left, and we're not doing it. We're just not doing it. All right. We've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Some exciting news. We're adding a brand new affiliate coming up on Monday. We're going to tell you all about that. I will say this. We will have new listeners in Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, as well as possibly even into New Mexico. So we're excited about the growth of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And by the way, it would not happen without all of you fine folk. By the way, want to remind you to head over to toddstearns.com. And we have so much great content for you there. I want you to go check it out. Download our podcast. We are growing our podcast audience. It's one of the top conservative podcasts out there. And again, that's only because of you. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Charles in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Hey, John, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, thank you.
So, Todd, I have an idea that I think could kill two birds with one stone. One, it could curb the radical activity on these campuses of these private universities. And also, I think it would do a lot to help even control the cost of higher education. I have a friend of mine who's a professor at Davidson College, and I was unaware that these private schools get all of this federal money. And he says what happens is the government gives these schools the money. They build all these buildings. They hire all these administrators, assistant professors of all these, you know, different new majors that they have. And it drives up the cost of tuition. And he had a suggestion, and I think I heard Tucker Carlson talk about this at one time, too. Why don't we cut off all federal money to these private schools and maybe just education in general, including the student loans? And if you want to go there, you have to have that school co-sign your co-sign the loan by using their endowment. These colleges have billions of dollars in endowments, and if they had to co-sign the loans for these students that are there, they're going to be a lot more selective about the majors that they offer, and they're going to be on the hook for these kids getting out of college and paying it back. And I think if they did something like that, I think you'd see a lot less of this radical activity. They would have to be a lot more, just a lot more careful about who they let in their universities.
Well, Charles, don't you think also that they would also be more careful with the kinds of degrees and the kinds of studies that they allow at the schools?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like Davidson College here in North Carolina, it's almost $80,000 a year to go there. What college is going to co-sign for that, knowing that when you get out majoring in gender studies, you may make $25,000 a year and have nothing? You know, snowball's chance, and you know what, of not ever paying it back. They would have to cut out a lot of these politically correct majors that they have now because, you know, they weren't around when you and I were in college. We never heard of any of these things. But because they're getting all the federal money, there's really no oversight and there's no incentive to control not only cost, but the kind of majors that are being offered. So what you end up with is these little indoctrination camps.
You know, it's interesting, Charles. I was just scanning here. If you go to the University of Notre Dame, which is supposed to be a Catholic school, you can get a bachelor's degree in gender studies. If you go to Indiana University of Pennsylvania, you can get a bachelor in lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer studies. I don't know what the final exam is there, but I don't want to know. It's just Connecticut College, a bachelor in gender, sexuality, and intersectionality studies. So, again, if we take away, to your point, if we take away all this federal funding, then they're going to have to get serious about the kinds of people they are graduating because they have to think about alumni, they have to think about donors. And the fact of the matter is somebody who majors in, say, lesbian literature and knitting is not going to be generating a lot of money to the coffers of the school.
Exactly. And if these schools, you know, by using their endowments like Harvard, if they had to be on the hook for these loans and everything, I guarantee you wouldn't see half of the majors that you see there right now and the people that you see there right now, because most of them are going to amount to nothing anyway, you know, that are majoring in these majors.
I love that idea, yeah. Charles. I think this is, it's a smart strategy. And again, it puts all of the pressure back on the universities where it should be. I mean, look, there are a lot of Christian schools, universities that are going belly up around the country because they strayed from their mission. And as a result, the donor stepped in and said, we're not going to be funding this nonsense anymore. So if we could do that to these Ivy Leagues and, quite frankly, every university in the country, because, you know, they're all getting, I mean, just billions and billions of dollars, Charles. Imagine what could happen to the country.
Well, I think that we could start getting our young people back on the right course and, you know, quit cramming their heads full of this garbage. But that's where it all starts, Todd. You've referenced that a lot. Until we get control of education, everything else is going to be a moot point.
Everything is a moot point. And the president has to understand this. And Linda McMahon over the education department, she has to understand that. And she has got to take this seriously. I'm telling you, it may not be super sexy out there, but this is work that must be done. Charles, gotta run, my friend. Say hello to all of our good friends in the Statesville area. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Dr. Jack Graham, senior pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church, one of the nation's largest and most dynamic congregations. Man, they're doing some incredible stuff there. Jack Graham has a close relationship with Susie Wiles, who is President Trump's chief of staff. So we're going to talk to Jack about that. Also, Holy Week services. And folks, we have President Trump's Holy Week message on our website, and I want to encourage you to go and read that and go back and listen to Franklin Graham's conversation we had on this program yesterday. And Franklin just laid it out. He said President Trump preached a message in that statement, that proclamation, that a lot of ministers here in America would not even dare preach from the pulpit. So anyway, God bless you. God bless you, President Trump, for, again, reminding people of what Easter is all about. And unlike Obama, it's not about Islam. No, it's about Jesus, risen from the grave. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Feel like you're stuck in career limbo? Clock in, clock out, repeat. No growth, no new opportunities. It's time to break out and break into tech. With CBT Nuggets, you can start building the IT skills that companies are hiring for right now. We make training fast, simple, and practical. From networking to cybersecurity, you'll get short, easy-to-watch videos and hands-on virtual labs so you can build real-world skills without expensive gear or complicated setups. For just $59 a month, you get unlimited access to our full training library. That includes certifications, skill-based learning, and practice exams, a $100 value included free. Learn anytime, anywhere, and get job ready on your terms. Thousands have used CBT Nuggets to launch new careers, and you can too. Right now, CBT Nuggets is offering a free trial. Easily find the training you need and test it out with no commitment. Start your 7-day free trial now at cbtnuggets.com. Don't wait. A better job is just a few clicks away.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, we have got a jam-packed hour. We're going to be checking in with our great affiliate over in California, Santa Clarita, California, radio station KHTS, Joe Messina, coming up in just a little while. But right now, I want to go to our Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line, and it's such an honor to have one of the most respected pastors in America, also pastor of one of the largest churches in the country, Preston Wood Baptist Church in Texas, our good friend Dr. Jack Graham. Dr. Graham, hope you're doing well.
Well, it is Easter week, so you really need to be doing well as you celebrate the greatest event in history and the power of Christ and the resurrection. It's a great week.
Are you pacing yourself, eating well, you know, getting some exercise leading up to this weekend?
Well, no, it's an all-in week. I mean, there's time to rest afterwards, you know, but we have a lot of things going on at the church, of course, and we want to max out on everything that we're doing here. It's a wonderful time of the year and a wonderful time to preach the gospel.
What is it about this time in American history? We are seeing so many people returning back to the church, especially among younger people. Are you noticing that at Preston Wood?
We are, and I'm seeing it as well all across the country. There are pockets of revival, if you will, igniting young people all across this country. You're seeing a political move, just conservative, especially among young men, but it's also a spiritual movement on college campuses and churches. And so all the data is showing it that God is doing great things right now, and I believe this generation upcoming will be a world-changing kind of generation.
It's really remarkable to see it all unfolding in real time, and young people that are not just, again, expressing their faith, but also embracing traditional roles, you know, within the family. And we're seeing young men and young women making those decisions. What do you make of that?
It's the power of God. I mean, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in the midst of all the darkness and chaos and confusion and the other side, the world and the flesh and the devil and all that's happening there, God, you know, will always have the last say. He had the last say after the cross, and then came the resurrection. And so after, you know, the cross came the victory, and I think that's what we're seeing. In fact, I know it is. We're seeing light overcoming darkness, and now we know in the long term that the world is going to get increasingly dark and desperate and hopeless, but in the meantime, God always has his people, and God is raising up, and not just here in the Western world in America, but I just saw that Bible sales are up in the United Kingdom by about 22 to 25%. I saw that there was a big prayer and worship rally in London where 10,000 young people showed up to worship Christ. So we're seeing not just here but around the world and, of course, in even third world countries where the gospel is being preached, Muslims coming to Christ everywhere. It's truly something very special that's happening, and I'm praising God that we get to see it.
We had Franklin Graham on the show yesterday, and he was weighing in on this very interesting message that President Trump issued a few days ago talking about Holy Week. And honestly, it read like a sermon, and I was really moved by a line in the president's remarks. He said, "This week we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation." What's your take as a pastor, the messaging coming out of the White House about what Easter is all about?
President Trump is turning into an evangelist, isn't he? I mean, the statement that he released included the gospel, and I really appreciated in it that he said, "Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He's talking about the resurrection, and he said, "Our," making it personal. And I do know God is at work in President Trump's life. I've known him since the 1980s when I was pastor in Florida, Palm Beach area, when he moved to Mar-a-Lago for the first time, and he attended our church some there. And then we were reacquainted a number of years ago when he was elected president, and I've just seen God work in his life. And the attempted assassination, when God spared his life, he's on record publicly as saying something changed in him, something happened in him. He knows he's here for a purpose, and it's God's purpose. And so, you know, and I see it in other political leaders. I saw, I don't know if we call them tweets or Xers these days, but Robert Kennedy Jr. is speaking about in today. He said, "Getting up with breath in my lungs and fire in my spirit to make a difference in the world." And people are praying. God is moving, and I couldn't be happier about it. This is an opportunity. And this week, the president has designated Holy Week at the White House, and there's going to be meetings and preaching and scripture reading and dinners, and it's a great thing.
I read earlier, gosh, several weeks back, it may have been several months now, that you know Susie Wiles, the White House Chief of Staff, and have a relationship with the family.
I do. Pat Summerall, I was his pastor, and he is the father of Susan Wiles, Susie Wiles. And so Susie has worshipped with us, and she's, I think, been online with us quite a bit. I've known her for a number of years, and of course, delighted. President Trump calls her the most powerful woman in the world, and I believe that could be true. And she's a great friend. She's a Christian. She loves the Lord. President Trump listens to her counsel and advice, and she's running a tight ship at the White House. We're not having a lot of leaks and all that sort of thing that can happen. Susie Wiles is a great person.
You can see that, and you can feel it in what's happening in that White House. I'm with you 1,000% there, and it's just a very different feel during this term in office for the president. I do want to go back, though, Jack, to what's going to be happening Sunday this weekend at Prestonwood. How do you prepare for this weekend when there may be a lot of people that normally do not go to church there in the pews at Prestonwood?
It's our goal to get people who don't normally go to Prestonwood in the pews every week, of course, but on a holiday weekend and a celebration like Easter, not only do you get many church members who unfortunately may not attend regularly, but you get them back and God begins to work in their hearts. We've seen that over the years. Someone comes back at Easter and they come back to Christ. So I never regret that. Sometimes you hear preachers, you know, talk about the creasters, those who only come Christmas and Easter. But I don't regret that they're coming. I'm glad that they're coming. And then at our church, we have a very aggressive and bold witness in the community, and our people are our best missionaries and evangelists. They're inviting. There are signs in yards all over North Texas inviting people to Easter services at Prestonwood. And so we pray that there will be people who may be church members here, there, or somewhere, but don't know Christ. And we'll see scores of people come to faith in Jesus this coming Sunday on Easter. Not only in Prestonwood in English, which is our service here, but we have the largest, I believe now the largest, certainly Baptist Espanol congregation in America. Is in they had 7,000 people overflow on Palm Sunday last Sunday. So Espanol, we're reaching Hispanic people like crazy by the power of God and His Spirit.
And also, folks, and by the way, folks, if you're in the Dallas area, go and visit. Prestonwood.org is the website. And Pastor Graham, I don't know if you're aware of this. You guys are also serving a buffet, and Baptist just historically have we nobody does better than us on the buffets.
Yeah, Paul said, "I buffet my body, not I buffet my body." But nevertheless, we do. We serve a great brunch. We want people to experience love and joy and hope on Easter. And so we do everything. We try to do it every week, of course, but certainly on a special day like this Easter, we do everything we can to welcome people and urge people to be a part of our church.
Well, I know you're super slammed, and we're going to continue the conversation tonight on TV on Newsmax. So we certainly appreciate you coming on, Dr. Graham, and just so excited about the great ministry that's happening there at Prestonwood.
Always good to talk to you, Todd. Thank you for all you're doing to impact so many people with truth.
Dr. Jack Graham, everybody, senior pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church. Again, the website address, prestonwood.org. Dr. Graham is going to be with us coming up a little bit later on this evening, 5 o'clock Eastern to be exact, on Newsmax. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, Dieter, if you haven't been to Prestonwood Baptist Church, it is insane. Now, let me say this. It is a massive church. I don't know how many people can fit in the auditorium, 10, 11,000 people. And they pack that church out. But what I love about, and they've got a huge Christian school as well, and their sports program is one of the top in the state of Texas. Jack Graham takes his sports seriously. Mm-hmm. But more important than all of that is that they really do share the gospel, and they're out there and they're in their community and they are reaching their community. But let me say this, everything they do is top notch. And I have no doubt that buffet on Sunday is going to be pretty good. But, and I don't want to say this, but I'm going to be at the Stearns family. We do the annual Peabody, and that's a hard brunch to beat. I think it's the best Easter brunch in the South.
In the nation.
Okay, we'll go with that. So you've been invited.
They have bottomless mimosas. Is that bad for Easter Sunday?
Well, not if you're Episcopalian.
Well, I'm not. I'm not Baptist. And so after Sunday sermon, we'll go to the Peabody, and they feed you so much food. You're stuffed. You're just a stuffed animal by the time you walk out. And then also, it's bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys. But Todd can't partake in that because he's Baptist, but I can. So I have a great experience every Easter.
I enjoy a delicious, refreshing glass of the house wine of the South, also known as iced tea. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very nice. But no, the Peabody, it's really one of those unique Memphis experiences. Of course, you see the ducks, and the ducks are in the lobby, and they've got the Easter bunny upstairs, and live jazz music.
So creepy, by the way.
What's that? The Easter bunny or the
belongs
ducks?
Belongs in the haunted house at Halloween, but he makes an appearance at the Peabody. And we'll stalk you, actually. Walk up behind you and just hover over you.
You know, I'm curious. Do you guys, you're from Pennsylvania. You're like, what, just one cousin away from being Amish. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you guys have a lot of Easter traditions in Pennsylvania?
Well, my mom and dad, my dad's a pastor, so they were big on Resurrection Sunday. And my mom would make these croissants. And to illustrate what Jesus did on Sunday was really shown in these rolls that she would serve on Sunday. And here's how it would work. You know the Pillsbury Doughboy can rolls?
Oh, rolls. Yes. Yes. Delicious.
So what you do, and gather around because you guys all need to do this for your Sunday. You put a marshmallow, a big old white fluffy marshmallow, insert that into the Pillsbury Doughboy roll. Then you bake that in the oven for about 15 minutes, 450, not sure about that, maybe 350 Fahrenheit. And when you pull out the rolls, that marshmallow disappears and there is a hole in the roll. And that illustrates the hole in the tomb. That's how I learned about the resurrection,
because
Todd.
Because the stone was rolled away.
And then you get to eat the grave. Yeah.
Well, I'll be...
That was a very exciting tradition for me, along with the other things, you know.
I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys have Easter traditions, because a lot of folks, it's all about, Christmas, and a lot of people just don't do a lot at Easter. But for our family, it was huge. I mean, my grandmother lived for, Easter Sunday when all of the grandchildren, and Dylan, your mom, all of us would be dressed alike, and she would go and make all the Easter outfits. Back in the 1970s, my grandmother was like the queen of Hancock fabrics, and we would all have these 1970s three-piece suits, like with the vest, tie, everything. It was pretty, we looked pretty good.
You were all in pastels? Pastels?
No. It was...
bright colors?
Yeah.
Or white?
Very bright colors.
Well, you do know that all the ladies start wearing white after Easter. You can't wear white during the winter months. That's like a cardinal sin. So expect a lot of white.
Do you folks still dye your in some places? Do you still dye your Easter eggs? That was like a huge thing back in the day. And now there's this woman, and she's gone viral because she was caught dyeing Easter eggs in the toilet. Her name is Kate Heinzelman. And she shared a video of herself dyeing Easter eggs in a commode. The video shows the eggs being placed in the toilet bowl. Then she puts in the dyes, the baking soda, and the distilled white vinegar. And she says it's the best way to dye your eggs. What happens if you flush? That's what I want to know.
What happens if there's already dye in the toilet?
That could be the tiny bowl man. I don't know. Someone said, another reason I don't eat at potluck dinners. It's great. Well, again, why a toilet bowl? That's what I don't understand. Why don't you just do it in a big bowl? That's what I don't get. But a lot of people now are going plastic, so they're going with the plastic eggs. And that's what our grandparents did back in the day. We had the plastic eggs, and you either had candy or you had cash in the eggs. And I prefer that to the hard-boiled eggs.
And an egg that's being dyed in a toilet.
And especially an egg that's being... Yeah.
You never want a brown egg.
What are those spots? You definitely don't want that. You know, another big tradition, and I didn't realize this was a big deal in the Northeast, but the Easter bonnet parades. And in New York City, they actually do a massive parade on Sunday afternoon after church, and you have thousands of people going out there and wearing their Easter bonnets. And now, of course, are just massive, huge hat displays. But back in the day, it was something that all the churches did. You would come out from church and you would stroll down Fifth Avenue in New York City. They made a movie about it, a musical about it. And it really is a thing, the Easter bonnet parade. So
do they give everybody bonnets? Like, they give everybody free things in New York. They give illegal. Do the illegals in New York get bonnets? Does everybody get
a
bonnet?
I think the illegals steal other people's bonnets. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, what sort of traditions do you and your family have for Easter? You know, are you a ham? You know, a lot of people do ham or they do lamb on Easter Sunday. And just curious. So for us, the Stearns family, we've been going to the Peabody Hotel and we chow down. And it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, too. So you're going to be over at the... I know you're going to be at the carving station, Dieter. You'll be chowing down on a side of beef.
If I can make it past the mimosas.
There you go. All right. We'll have somebody wheel you over. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, you got to talk about the chocolate bunnies. We got Dinstals. I mean, come on. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Happy to have you with us. You know, we just had to do something to have to welcome my pastor for the inaugural visit to the Todd Starnes Show, Dr. Matt Brown, who's a big Mississippi State guy.
Yes, I am.
So welcome. We hope we made you feel comfortable.
Thank you. I like to hear the cowbells.
It's not too bad. And I've got, you know, here's the thing. Years ago when, this was back in the day, I was embedded with the Obama campaign. And so we were traveling, we were at some event, and they gave everybody in the press corps that was traveling with Obama a cowbell from Mississippi State. And when we were taking off, it was a tradition on the plane, everybody would ring those cowbells.
Really?
So that lasted all of one trip.
Yeah, that doesn't last long.
No, it didn't last long.
If you're in a stadium and listen to those, it gets really, really loud.
Yes, it does. Dr. Brown, we're so happy to have you with us, pastor at Germantown Baptist Church. And this is sort of like, what, Super Bowl week for you guys?
Yeah, it really is. When you're a pastor, this is what you're aiming for all year long, especially when you know that there are going to be a lot of folks that are not normally in church. They may come a couple of times a year. This will be one of those times on Easter Sunday when a lot of people will show up. And so you know you have a number of people that are guests that have either not heard the gospel or maybe are not as familiar with the gospel, and you have an opportunity to be able to preach the word to them.
So. Has that changed a lot since, you know, COVID? You know, a lot of people were at home, and it took time for people to get back into the routine of getting back to church again.
Yeah, that was a really weird thing doing Easter around COVID. But now I feel like at least where we are in our context, most people have made their way back to church. And so we're seeing larger crowds. We saw a very large crowd last year at Easter. And so we anticipate many more people this year.
What's that process like? You know, when you're getting the sermon ready and, you know, you always want to have a good, or do you want to have a good joke, or how do you, what do you do? Have writers?
No, I don't particularly, but you really want to connect with people that are not as familiar with the story and not as familiar with the environment when they walk into church. They got drugged there by somebody else, right? They got drugged there by their mom or their grandmother or something like that who expected them to be in church on Easter. And so they're going to be there for that reason. So you want to connect with them the best that you can. But these are some of the things that we try to prepare for and be engaged with the crowd as much as we can so that people who are not normally there feel really welcome.
A couple of years ago, before Charlie Daniels passed, he was on the show and he talked about this one moment for Easter Sunday. And he was over in Iraq with the troops. And they actually recorded an album. It was just Charlie Daniels and his guitar singing some of the old favorite hymns. And it was just, it's a unique, special moment. And I have to imagine that's what those services are like at Germantown Baptist Church and other churches around the country. Special moment.
Yeah, and our worship staff puts a lot of extra work into particularly this Sunday. We will also have a Good Friday service as well. So we're working really hard for those two services to maximize our effort to make sure that we're connecting well with people that are there. But at the same time, we want to be really clear about the gospel story, Jesus' death on the cross and then his resurrection.
And does that sometimes, and there's, you know, and I've seen so many stories about churches that are, you know, they're trying to do modern stuff, you know, and maybe they have somebody swinging in, you know, on a cross with a, you know, electric guitar screaming, you know. Yeah. And I get that. I don't necessarily object to it, but but at the same time, I mean, it really is a simple message.
It is a very simple message. And that's what, at least at Germantown Baptist Church, that's what we want to focus on and highlight is the gospel message of Jesus' death and resurrection. There'll be some things that we'll do that are creative. You know, everybody's got a context, and we want to do things as creatively as we can to grab attention, sure, but we don't want any of those things to detract from the message of Easter.
I go back and look, and I've got a new book coming out very soon. And when you look at our presidents, going back to Eisenhower, JFK, you know, Republican and Democrat presidents, Franklin Roosevelt, there was all this. There was this moment when they talk about the importance of God in the culture and why it's so important for us to understand that the church has such an important role, and that church, of course, directing people back to the gospel message, which is really, you know, again, what this time is about. And I guess maybe it's an opportunity to remind people, hey, this is why church is important.
Yeah, especially in this context that we have now. This sort of cultural moment that we're in, that I think people are maybe sensitive to the issues of eternal life or life after death, especially. What does that mean for people? You know, when we're dealing with all kinds of issues around truth or lack of truth, or what is truth, or is there truth, those kind of things. So it just creates a cultural moment where people may be more sensitive.
I mean, how long have we gone through this period where, you know, they say, well, everybody has their own truth.
Yeah.
And I was reading a magazine years ago about Oprah, and she said, oh, yeah, this is my truth. I don't think anybody really stopped to think, what happens when your truth conflicts with my truth?
That's
whose
right.
truth takes precedent at that
yeah,
point?
Yeah, I think ultimately that's the failure of the postmodern movement many years ago, was bringing this issue to the table that there's no real truth. Well, that nobody lives that way. That is counterintuitive to everything that we know on the inside. We know that there are certain things that are true. And so we want to present the truth of the gospel in sort of this sensitive moment where people are looking for what is true.
And people have to understand that transcends politics. It transcends
yeah, it
everything else, you know. And if we don't get back to that, nothing is going to work.
That's right. Because we know that's actually the hope for our culture, any culture of any time, is the gospel of Jesus. And so we want to preach that message very clearly.
Last year, Lifeway Christian Resources did a study, and they showed that Bible sales surged 30% among young adults. Mm-hmm. There's a new survey that came out just a couple of weeks ago showing more young men in America are reading their Bibles. Have you noticed that trend? And if you have, what do you make of that?
I have noticed that. Even in my own family, I'll just speak for myself. I have two teenage boys. Well, one is not a teenager anymore. One is still a teenager, but I've noticed that trend even in my boys. So I'm very thankful for that. My executive pastor at Germantown Baptist Church, he's got two boys, young men, and he's noticed that same trend in their life too. I've noticed that with many younger men that, again, I think probably as a result of the failure of postmodernism, the failure of the sort of this emptiness that our culture has offered for a long time, I think a lot of younger men are beginning to gravitate more back to, no, there is something that's real. There is something that's true, and I want to know what that is. And so I think more young men are searching for what that is, because everything else they've been offered is really empty.
And it's not just the young men. I think the young women as well. Harrison Butker, remember that? He gave the valedictory address, I think, at his school. And he's Catholic. And he was talking and really encouraging, you know, the young men and women graduating to consider those traditional, what you would consider traditional roles in the household.
Yeah, traditional values. And I think there is a, at least from what I can see as a pastor, there seems to be a trend back toward maybe more traditional values, biblical values, as we would call them, but an interest in what things are really real, or what things are true, what things will give them an anchor for their life going forward. That, I think they realize just a number, or at least some people do, there's just so much emptiness to what's been offered as an alternative in the past. And there's something more to life. There's meaning and purpose in life, and that's actually, we believe, grounded in the Scripture.
We got to take a quick break. Can you stick around
for absolutely.
A couple more minutes? All right,
Love
we have
to.
Dr. Matt Brown, pastor at Germantown Baptist Church. And if you are in the Memphis area, I would encourage you, if you don't have a church home, go and check out the incredible ministry there. You're going to love it. And can we just say, Dr. Brown, I think we have the best music ministry in America.
Man. Absolutely.
I want Jack Graham to get upset, but it rocks. I mean, it's just amazing.
Absolutely.
They do an amazing job. Folks, hang tight. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. May I tell you about our friends at Old Glory Bank? For months now, we've been telling you stories about banks that have been deplatforming conservatives. Well, OldGloryBank.com, founded by Dr. Ben Carson and Larry Elder, FDIC insured. And this bank was created to protect your privacy, security, and liberty. And I want you to go check them out. They have some incredible opportunities for you. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. That's OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Coming up, Dr. Peter McCullough from The Wellness Company joining us in the next hour. Also, our good buddy Joe Messina, host of The Joe Messina Show in Santa Clarita, California, our terrific affiliate out there. And in studio, my pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, joins us, pastor at Germantown Baptist Church. I hope I'm behaving myself.
You are. I'm so proud of you, Todd. I'm so proud of you.
No. It's so exciting to see what's happening at Germantown. And I think having a strong church is so vital to having a strong community.
Yeah, absolutely. We are a long time standing church in Germany. We're at 189 years old right
wow.
now in our community, and been in several different locations in Germantown, but we've been in this location for about 30 years. So it's a strong church in our community, and I've only been here almost 4 years now, but I'm just privileged to be a part of it.
So the first time I ever heard anything about Germantown Baptist Church, they said, "Oh, you know, they've got a barbecue ministry. They have like a portable." Yeah. I'm like, "Wait, yeah. what? That's my kind of church."
Yeah,
right
that's
there.
Exactly right. I've partaken of a few things that they've cooked here and there, but yeah, we got all kinds of different ministries and programs and that kind of thing. So it's really cool.
And how important is that for a church? Again, you know, it seems like you want to be insular, but you know, at yeah. the same time, you really do need to reach out to the community.
You do. And to give your community knowledge that you're there. We still find people in Germantown all the time that don't know we're there. I mean, we're just a big church on the side of Poplar Avenue, but there are people that drive by us and don't recognize us, don't know that the church is there. And so we're trying to reach our community the best that we can.
And you're a big Mississippi State guy.
I am, yeah.
All right.
I didn't go to Mississippi State, but I grew up a Mississippi State fan. My whole family went to Mississippi State pretty much. I was the only one who didn't go. I went to Bible college and seminary and those kind of things.
And Dylan, are we an Ole Miss family? We're a broken family. We're a mixed family.
House divided.
Yeah, anybody that's an Ole Miss fan comes from a broken family. Surely.
I'm a Tennessee fan, so I'm really messed up. But I will say this: one of the funniest things, I was invited to speak at a church in the Augusta area, and mm-hmm. this pastor has like all the contacts at Augusta National, right? The, mm-hmm. for the Masters. And I got a chance to meet one of the caddies down there, and he builds golf clubs.
Okay.
And so my prized possession downstairs in my office is a University of Tennessee putter this guy made me. And I asked the pastor though, and I cannot remember his name. But I said, "So I love the putter, but can I get tickets to the Masters?" He says, "No, I'm not a miracle worker."
Yeah, I'd rather have the tickets there.
I've always been marveled. I always marvel at the number of Baptist ministers who end up at the Masters.
I don't know how that happens. I've never had a chance to go, Todd. So if you have connections, I'd love to have those connections.
So when I was at Fox, they sent me down when Tiger Woods came back. He was making his debut again, after all of that mess.
Yeah.
And they sent me down to cover it, and I was so excited. So we get down there, and you're sort of tethered to the satellite truck. Mm. And so they said, "Did you get to see Tiger Woods?" And I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "We are in the parking lot of the Jiffy Lube across from Augusta National. Are you kidding me?"
Not even close.
Not even close. I couldn't even get a pimento cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of these guys up close. I'd just like to see them hit the ball up close and personal. That'd be cool.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And it was a great finish and it was a great Masters.
At least you get to see it on the TV. You get to see it all up close.
This is true. Here in studio, we have Dr. Matt Brown with us from Germantown Baptist Church. Dr. Brown, when we're heading up into Good Friday, and you guys will be doing Good Friday services as well, when you look at what's happening culturally in the nation, how do you determine as a pastor, okay, yeah, you know what, I need to weigh in on this issue, or I need to weigh in on that issue?
Yeah, that's not easy. That's not easy to navigate. I know that I'm shepherding a group of people who want to know how to read the Bible and bring the Bible to bear on their personal lives. And that also involves their politics, that involves their
community life, their family life, those kind of things. So what I want to do is make sure that the best that I can is to try to help them know how to navigate the issues. Yes, be traditional and conservative, but at the same time, I want to make sure that they can bring the gospel to bear on that. So how does the Bible inform their way of life in their culture when it comes to all kinds of issues, doctrinal issues within the church, but also political issues in the community?
When you look at what's happening in Memphis with the violence and, yeah, and the crime, do you as pastors, do you guys talk about that?
Yeah, we do some of that. And some guys are in different parts of our city and different parts of Shelby County that face things a little differently. We get word once in a while that more violence is headed east toward Germantown. We hear some of those things. And so that's disconcerting for a lot of our members who don't just live in Germantown, live in all kinds of places within the region, not only in Shelby County, but also in Mississippi, who travel. And so the violence seems to be spreading outside the city into different places. And so it's very disconcerting, disheartening, because we love our city.
It's, you know, when I see what's happening here, you know, in our city, and you just shake your head because they're trying to use politics to solve all these problems. Yeah. And that is not the answer. And these poor children not able to read. And it's so exciting to see. I know people in the Christian community, there's a great program in the Memphis area called Arise to Read. Mm. You know, if you can teach a kid to read and get moms and dads in the home, the kids are going to have a fighting chance.
Absolutely. There's social aspects to the gospel for sure. I mean, we need to be reaching people where they are, meeting needs, feeding hungry people, all those kind of things we need to be doing at the same time that we're preaching the gospel. So we don't want to be found just simply preaching truth without living out that truth and meeting the needs around us, and especially helping our city.
All right, post-Easter Sunday service, it's like nap time, vacation, don't bother the pastor.
Go take a nap. Go take a nap. Yeah, so we're excited about this Sunday coming up. And then after that, we don't really slow down at Germantown. We continue. We've got a whole slate of all kinds of activities and programs that go on through the rest of the year.
All right, and the website address?
GermantownBaptist.org, GermantownBaptist.org.
This is like Baptist Day on the Todd Stern Show.
I feel privileged,
Todd. Jack Graham, Pastor Brown. We had Franklin Graham yesterday.
Man, I can't believe I'm in the company of those men.
I think we've got Robert Jeffress coming up, so it's... Wow. And we got to be careful. I had to hedge it with Dr. Graham, and I said, one of the best pastors in America, because I will get a call from somebody.
Yes, so. you will. Yeah.
And I didn't want to get the eye from the pulpit either. So
you
on
will
Sunday,
get it.
So.
You'll get it.
All right. Well, Pastor Brown, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the
Absolutely.
Program.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you for the ministry as well. What an incredible team of folks assembled there on staff at Germantown.
It's our privilege. I'm privileged to be able to work with them. I really am.
All right, folks, here's the deal. We're going to be taking a break here momentarily. I mentioned the new book coming out in June. June 17th is launch day for Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And you can pre-order a copy right now, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you get your books. You can go and pre-order a copy right now. You're going to love this book, and it's just an encouraging reminder of how God has blessed America and how he has used the craziest people, the most unusual people, to advance his work. So get yourself a copy. Also, head over to toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to sign up for our daily podcast as well as our newsletter. Both of those things, by the way, are free of charge, and you'll be able to get those. If you miss an interview, you'll be able to go back and listen to those on our podcast. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Coming up, Joe Messina from radio station KHTS in Santa Clarita, California, and also Dr. Peter McCullough, who is one of the chief medical officers at the Wellness Company, and your calls as well. Write down this number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. So, I will do a full confession here. So, Ben Dieter is the executive producer of this program and does a terrific job of booking guests and the lovely Beth from Newsmax TV. So, we're sort of a tag team effort. And my job is just to stay out of the way. But I didn't stay out of the way. So we had like a very religious hour, and I love that. I think that's great. But anyway, I didn't realize that we had already booked Dr. Jack Graham. So it is great to have you with us. Great interviews in the last hour, and I want to encourage you to go back and listen, because ultimately on this program, and I want you to hear this from me directly. On this program, we understand that the solution to everything that is wrong in America, I mean every single thing that is wrong in America right now, can be fixed if people would just get back to the church and would just turn back to God. And what's so exciting about Generation Z, and you heard Pastor Graham talking about this, you heard Pastor Brown talking about this just moments ago, that young people in this country, they have seen what happens when you turn away from God, and they've decided with their young lives, you know what, that's not who I want to be. That's not what I want to be. So it's exciting to see this return back to the traditions of our nation and the faith of our fathers. So I want to talk about Steve Bannon for just a moment. Bannon is on the warpath right now, and there is a lot of frustration with the Justice Department, with Pam Bondi and Kash Patel. And Steve Bannon talking about this, Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch literally filing a lawsuit against Pam Bondi because the Epstein files have yet to be released. Take a listen.
The Cash and Pam situation is suboptimal. Can we say that? I do want to, and maybe I do that tomorrow's breakdown, some of the Tom Fitton. For those of you who didn't see the show on Saturday, Tom Fitton is a warrior's warrior. And when Tom Fitton's got to sue you, that shows you that, maybe you got to get focused. So Tom Fitton dropped a lawsuit on the Epstein files. But it's more than that. And he gave through an amazing presentation. He was the guy that was all over Holder. But he brought up a point. He ended up suing the Trump Justice Department more in the first term than he did in all 8 years of Holder. And Holder and these guys at Justice stiff-armed him like crazy. Why? Because Senator Sessions and others that went over there, Bill Barr, did not take out the deep state element in the Justice Department. So it's a problem. It's no doubt a problem. And Fitton is the guy that lays it out, and Fitton's kind of the tip of the spear in this. And I agree, something you got to have a shakeup, because you need to start taking apart the FBI now and the Justice Department at a deeper and deeper level, although the appointments have been amazing.
So let me explain this. The clock is ticking here, right? So the midterms, and I'm not talking about the end of the Trump term. I'm talking about the midterms. When the midterms happen, and if things have not moved at a rapid pace, you could watch the base of the party, the base of the America First movement, become somewhat demoralized and not go and vote. On the other side of the aisle, you've got Bernie Sanders and AOC out there. They are drawing thousands of people to these crowds, and it doesn't matter if most of them are getting paid. That doesn't matter. They are still driving a narrative. So it could be a dangerous, somewhat toxic mess in the midterm elections, which is why Steve Bannon is so concerned.
Situation with Cash and with Pam Bondi. Yes, it's a huge concern. We actually have another video that Elizabeth over at a Telegram has pulled that I want to put up of Fitton again talking about the FBI. Tom Fitton's idea of the FBI and mine are exactly aligned. I'm not sure you can reform the FBI. I don't know you should reform the FBI. Certainly, I would not be putting up stuff on Instagram every couple of days about, hey, we're leading a new FBI and showing guys jumping out of planes and all that. I'm just not buying that. It's not a new FBI. You've put some good people in. I mean, hell, you got Cash and Dan Bongino. You couldn't have two better guys than that at the top of it. But I think that they're only, maybe the general counsel, are the only real outsiders that are over there. I mean, it's still the FBI. Maybe you're promoting some better people inside, but it's a systemic problem over there. It's not a not simply a personnel problem. It's what's happened to that institution over many decades. And it's much too politicized today. And I have been a believer you have to bifurcate the law enforcement side of it from the counterintelligence, counterterrorism part of it. You have to break that up right away.
And he's absolutely right about that. So we've got to get a handle on that. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to bring you to Dearborn, Michigan, and a very simple question. Should we be concerned about the rise of Islam in the United States? Now, there are many out there who would contend that it's a freedom of religion issue and that we should be embracing the Muslims and their religion. I have some concerns about that, because everywhere that we have seen the Islamist go, they have taken over. And that's what's happening right now in across Europe and across the UK. I know Jack Graham was talking about how Christianity is making a resurgence there. But the reality of the situation is that Muslims are growing in power and influence. So in Dearborn, Michigan, the Muslims there are being interviewed, and they were interviewed for some Islamic television station. And they're openly saying that the only reason they are here in America is to destroy America.
The message for the people of Gaza is going to be more of the message that should be sent to the people here, in that they have achieved victory. We haven't done anywhere near enough. And the people here, I promise you, we do feel ashamed. We do feel like we're not doing enough. We do feel like change needs to come, because change must come. And in the form that it must come is that this empire, the American empire, that's been hurting our people since the beginning, the imperial Western powers that have been hurting our people since the beginning, they must fall. And inshallah, they will fall. And my message to the people of Gaza and oppressed peoples across the world is that there are people here, both young and old, who are going to be willing to fight and are willing to put their lives and everything they can on the line to bring these empires down, because they must come down.
So there you have it. You've got this leader saying that the American empire must fall. I would take these people at their word, ladies and gentlemen, and I would just direct your attention to what happened in this country on September the 11th, 2001, where thousands of American people were slaughtered in the name of the religion of peace. I mean, it's very simple. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Just got a text message from our good buddy Matt Velasquez over at Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Have you guys heard of this? Is a brilliant restaurant. So let me read this text to you from Velasquez. He goes, "Hey, Starnes, new Trump Burger restaurant opening in Houston this weekend. We're going to be broadcasting live from the grand opening Saturday. It's going to be packed with fellow Trumpers." So again, Patriot Talk 920, head over to their website if you want details. But there is a restaurant chain in Texas called Trump Burger. And I am telling you right now, I love the logo. The logo is a beautiful burger with Trump hair on top. But it's, I guess the Trump hair is actually cheese, I suppose. Maybe cheddar? I don't know. It's golden, though. So anyway, the Trump Burger restaurant, I've never heard of such a thing. So the magazine HoustonEater.com says that Trump Burger is they have three locations, and they have Trump branded burgers. I'm curious if any of our Houston listeners have had a Trump Burger, but it looks delicious and it's flame broiled. And then they actually stamp the word Trump on the bun. It looks like it's, I guess they use like a cattle prod or something with the word Trump. And they just, there you go. The restaurant serves Trump-branded burgers, chicken sandwiches, and Philly cheesesteaks. Its first location opened in 2020 in Belleville, Texas, and serves burgers, tenders, and salads. According to a reviewer, the burger joint is very Trumpy. The restaurant, decked out in red, white, and blue, features an array of Trump photos and merch and boasts a life-size cardboard poster of the president. Well, there you go. The burgers look pretty. And by the way, that when the burgers come out, they have a lovely Trump flag. This is, they use the toothpick, and there you go. So if any of you have eaten at this place, we got to get this Dieter, we got to get the owner on. So let's track down the owner of Trump Burger and try to get this guy on the show. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. That is going to be one heck of an event on Saturday. Good for you folks. So look, one of the Atlanta Braves broadcast guys is in hot water. And I'm curious to know if this guy did something wrong. All right. So the reporter is with FanDuel Sports Network, and he got in trouble at an Atlanta Braves game. He was interviewing a couple of very lovely Atlanta Braves baseball fans. And during the course of the back and forth, he asked for one of the fans' telephone numbers. And surprisingly, she gave it to him. So this is how it all went down.
We're having a lot of fun up here up the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lauren's, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about root for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my
number. I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless.
I got the number. We're good.
Well, so he got the number. Dylan, I know you're a big sports guy. That was a pretty smooth move.
It was smooth. He used two moves on him. He said, come to the rooftop often.
Oh, you picked up on that. He's in the middle of a baseball game.
Yeah, and then there was like the announcers told me they wanted to get your number. So
and they didn't believe him. Oh, they want my number.
Right.
That was pretty smart. So it was funny. It was funny, right? So now all you know what is breaking loose, and they're calling the guy sexist. People are enraged. I mean, come on. The guy was just having a little bit of fun, and he got her number. So you never know how that could go. But anyway, one of the guys from Fox Sports, Ralph, is it Vashino? I don't know, Vassiano? That's probably it, Vassiano. Here's what he said. An unprofessional disgrace from the reporter to the guys in the booth to the producer in the truck who could have stopped it at any point. Okay, it wasn't an assault, dude. He was asking for her number. Come on. It's not fun. It's not cool. It's not harmless. It's only a standard for harassment. So they're literally accusing the poor broadcaster of harassing these girls.
Somebody's still single. Somebody's a little butthurt.
Indeed.
He's tried that move, sounds like.
Have you noticed, though, Dylan, that a lot of the sports reporters are just as woke as the day is long? They used to be conservative guys back in the day.
Yeah, it's not getting better on that side.
Here's Evan Grant. He's a reporter with the Dallas Morning News. To yesterday, if a female reporter did this, she'd be called horrible names and probably be run out of town. On the other side, here's a fellow TV anchor basically saying to dude who asked for phone numbers, my man, it's not the same for both sexes. It's just not. And it's inherently wrong. Another single guy. Yeah, I think so. Really? I mean, by the way, and it's not the only Sam Fetterman writing, hey, journalists, don't do this. This is ridiculous. Chrissy Birdsall. pro tip to sports reporters out there, don't do this. Chelsea James, imagine if a female reporter did anything like this, career over, pretty brutal to see it glorified by the broadcast. It's just guys having fun, for crying out loud. A guy can't even just, I don't know, fellowship with a lovely female baseball fan. I'm trying to be careful here, Dylan. Ladies, do you have a problem with this? I mean, the guy seemed pretty polite to me. Hey, girls, what's going? You know, you got your microphone, you're a TV guy. Those are, you know, that's going to be pretty easy to get a date. 901-260-5926. I've seen Dieter do it all the time. Is it some murder scene? Blood splattered all over the place. Hey, baby, what you doing tonight? I'm a reporter. Will Ferrell did it in an Anchorman. Let's go to Leanne in Houston. Patriot Talk 920. Leanne, is this true? You have been to Trump Burger?
Not only have I been to Trump Burger, but it was on my birthday, because what better way to celebrate?
Get out of here. I have never heard of this place. I am so excited. I got to go to Houston now to go to Trump Burger.
Okay, well, wait. We went to the one in Belleville. So we literally drove an hour and a half to go from Houston just to go to Trump Burger in Belleville so we could celebrate on my birthday.
So let me get this right. You drove that far to get a burger?
It was worth it. Excellent.
Okay, Leanne is cracking up a little bit here on the phone. Not you personally, you're not cracking up, Leanne, but your phone is. So you're telling me, it was worth the trip? If the burger's that good?
Yes, the burger was excellent. The onions were really good, if you're one of those people like me. But it was worth the drive just to go all the way over there just for that. And the little shop, of course. It was us ladies, so we had to do a little shopping and get some new T-shirts.
Well, of course you do. I mean, that's a requirement. Well, Leanne, look, Patriot Talk 920, I'm sure the info's on their website. But they're doing a big remote with the new Trump Burger coming out over in West Houston. So maybe they will see you out there. Leanne, thank you for calling in, though. Folks, hang tight if you're on hold. We've got to take a quick break here, going right back to your phone lines. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Trump Burgers. And again, I don't think the reporter did anything wrong here. He was just a guy being a guy, and he was being pretty polite about it. And I bet the ladies loved every single second of it. I'm just telling you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Searns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Mark in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind today?
I wanted to say that you were talking about Dearborn, Michigan, and the issues they're having there. The biggest problem I have personally is that Jesus Christ teaches us not to deny him. And Muhammad teaches lie. And that's a big problem with me. They can do what they want to do, but I don't need them in my business lying to me. I can't trust them from the word go. They say it's only for the protection if your life is in danger. Well, that can mean just about anything. And therefore, I can't. It's hard to trust them from the word go.
Mark, my general philosophy on this is very simple. As long as you don't want to blow me up, I'm okay. I'm good with that. But when your religion says you've got to blow me up, I got a problem with that.
And there it begins.
All right, Mark, thank you for that call, sir. Thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920. What is this, Burger Day on the Todd Stern Show? First of all, I've got to give a huge shout-out locally. In Memphis, Tennessee, Huey's, which is, and I'm just going to say this, if you're driving through Memphis, you need to drop by a Huey's restaurant. They've got a number of them around the city. It's a family-owned, locally-owned burger joint, And let me tell you something. It really is an incredible burger. You're going to love it. And it's a big old burger, too. They celebrated their 55th anniversary. That is a huge thing in the restaurant business. So congratulations to the owners of Huey's Restaurant in Memphis. And Dieter just sent me an item. Speaking of flame broiled, Burger King is selling cheeseburgers for 1 cent. Is that just for today, Dieter? All right, because today is tax day. Oh, can I just say I got my taxes in on time. I feel somewhat good until I figured out how much I owed. And now not so good. But anyway, today on tax day, Burger King selling cheeseburgers for 1 penny. This is coming from the Today Show. If you are a member of the Royal Perks, you get a 1 cent burger with a purchase of $1 or more. No matter how your tax return shakes out, cheap eats are totally on the table. I think this is pretty awesome. This is pretty cool. So anyway, head over to Burger King. A Krispy Kreme, by the way. Krispy Kreme customers who order a dozen donuts, you can get another dozen for the price of their state's sales tax on tax day. And also, there are discounts at Potbelly, White Castle, and California Pizza Kitchen. So everybody's doing what they can. That's one of the reasons why I guess people were on edge today as I was driving in. People, you know, it's got to do your taxes and all that kind of whatnot. That's always an unpleasant thing. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from Santa Monica, California, one of the most beautiful beaches in the nation, but they got big problems. So Santa Monica's got a lot of crime, and they got a lot of drugs, drug usage, homelessness, and they've really turned one of the most beautiful beaches in America into a cesspool. So much so that people are literally afraid to go out onto the beach because they might get stabbed by a dirty needle that has been discarded in the sand. So anyway, city leaders, they have finally figured out a way to deal with all of the murders, assaults, rapes, and overdoses. Take a listen.
As the sun sets in Santa Monica, the troves of people taking a stroll along the water might soon need to take a different path. That's because this week, city leaders called for action, asking the city manager and the city attorney to explore a potential curfew along the shoreline.
Makes no sense.
That sounds horrific. Nobody wants a curfew anywhere, especially the beach.
In a city council meeting earlier this week, Mayor Lana Negrete said the move is about safety, citing a string of late-night crimes across the area.
I think in light of the last, 24 months, we've had even more crime, everything from murders, rapes, and even accidental deaths.
Some examples include a woman beaten to death in February, found in a sleeping bag on the beach. City Beach maintenance personnel found her body near a lifeguard tower just north of the Santa Monica Pier. And in October 2024, a woman was run over and killed on the beach, also near the pier. Police said a 21-year-old man was driving in circles at high speeds on the sand when he ran over the victim.
If people are being like exposed to those kinds of problems, then I don't know if a curfew is the best way to solve it, but it seems like a good step in that direction.
The mayor and other council members also highlighted multiple examples of people sleeping on the beach who have been accidentally run over by maintenance crews.
There's a saying the police use, nothing good happens after midnight.
If they got safety issues, put some police here and take care of the safety. Why you want to close it off? I mean, the closing it off invites more of the same issues.
While no formal curfew has been proposed just yet, only a request for options, other coastal cities like Huntington Beach already enforce nighttime rules. But in Santa Monica, past efforts were blocked. And some current residents wonder if this will actually solve the issues leaders want to tackle.
It's dangerous
and
everywhere, not just
about
the beach.
That, they should focus on the people that are causing the problem, not the people that are being affected by it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, here's the problem here, folks. City officials don't want to deal with the problem. And what is the problem? The problem is not people wanting to have a cookout at sunrise or at sunset on the beach. The problem is not young couples walking hand in hand in the moonlight on the beach. The problem are all the people committing the crimes, the murders, the rapes, the assaults, the overdoses, the people squatting and pooping in the sand. Those people are the problems. But the city doesn't want to deal with that. So what are they going to do? They're just going to shut down the beach for everybody. Let me ask you a question. You really think the murderers and the serial poopers are going to obey the curfew? You really think that's going to happen? I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think so. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, one of the big concerns that folks have had in the middle of the tariff war is whether or not China might retaliate. And again, so much of our drug supply chain comes from China and India. It's all been outsourced, which is one of the reasons why you need to check out my friends over at the wellness company, twc.health/starns. That's twc.health/starns. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend, the chief scientific officer at the wellness company, Dr. Peter McCullough. Dr. McCullough, good to have you back with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So tariffs have certainly been the nonstop talk in Washington and really across the country. I'm just curious, is there a specific point in time that our prescription drug supply chain was outsourced to the Chinese?
It was slow over time. It's best chronicled in the work called China Rx by Rosemary Gibson. But the Chinese government helped support Chinese generic manufacturers to undercut our pricing, and it effectively forced U.S. generic companies out of business. So we don't even make antibiotics anymore in the United States.
It seems to me that would be a national security threat. Do you see that?
Completely agree. I mean, the U.S. FDA, the Department of Commerce, have been asleep at the switch now for decades. This has occurred over multiple presidential administrations. I'm glad finally in Trump 2.0 they're starting to realize that this is an issue, and they have to be careful with these trade tariffs. China has the upper hand right now because we just don't have any leverage. We don't have any U.S. manufacturers to rely on.
I'm just curious how it all, you know, why? Why can't we make all of those things here? You know, the drugs, you know, the things that we need, those crucial drugs. Why can't we make all of that here on American soil?
We can, but we couldn't compete with the pricing that the Chinese government was supporting the Chinese companies, and they were offering pricing through all the distributors at rates that U.S. companies couldn't compete with. So this is an example where maybe we do need U.S. government support for vital drugs. We've seen the fraud and waste of money on ridiculous DEI and other programs. Boy, if those monies went to manufacture a base supply of critical drugs, it'd be a much better investment.
Are you starting to hear those kinds of conversations being had here in the United States?
Not at all. I don't think there's been a single meeting or work group on this that I'm aware of. And deeply concerned, just like with the first Trump administration, they're asleep at the switch on this vital issue.
Why would they be asleep at the switch? I don't understand.
They, have obviously interests in so many different areas, energy, the border, biological threats, that pharmaceutical provisions has been taken as a given for so long. And suddenly now we're in a brinkmanship with China, and no one's kind of thought through this of, you know, what does China hold in terms of assets that we really need critically, you know, way more than just, batteries for cars. It's our drugs, particularly for our seniors.
Do you foresee an issue where there could be some drug shortages coming up as a result of this?
For sure. And I think it's going to happen. We'll see it reflected in increased pricing. So these inexpensive generic drugs are going to get expensive. And then in the hospital, what happens is soon as, supply costs go up, the group purchasing manufacturers quickly can change their formularies. And we're going to see a lot more quote, drug shortages. And they're not real drug shortages, it's just that the group purchasing organizations are not providing any more of a standard drug, and then we have to make other choices in the hospital.
And this is one of the reasons, you know, I've been such a fan for a very long time of the wellness company. And folks, again, check out their website, twc.health/starnes. That's twc.health/starnes. The question, Dr. McCullough, is, and I'm sure everybody's sitting here listening to the conversation, freaking out a little bit, but what is it that Americans can do if they have critical medications on hand to make sure they have these critical medications on hand?
The smartest thing they can do is go to the wellness company and sign up for a One Wellness Elite membership. So that will not only provide access and discounts on the kits, and the big kit to get is called the Field Kit. That has ample supplies of critical antibiotics, antivirals, steroids, EpiPens, everything that's needed. And then the One Wellness Elite program offers free generic medication. So if one enters their drugs in there, you can get a full renewal on the generic medications, you know, blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, thyroid, et cetera. And a wellness company, we have two pharmacies, one in Boca Raton, one in Beaumont, Texas. We have ample supplies on hand. We have no plans to raise prices right now. If people get in and get that One Wellness Elite membership, I have it for myself, my family members. You'll have a lot more peace of mind that we won't have disruptions in our critically needed meds.
And that's the thing, is that you don't know when the prices are going to increase, and you don't know when there might be a supply shortage. So it makes a lot of sense, folks, to go and check out the field kit. I've got the medical emergency kit. I have been I think I have two or three of them. Then I have the travel kit. I've got a lot of the products, and I'm sitting pretty well, and I just haven't really had to worry about it because I know I have those medications on hand. Mm-hmm. Should I need them, Dr. McCullough?
That's right. You know, I have high blood pressure and other problems, and so I rely on the chronic prescription medications, and with the One Wellness Elite program, I went ahead and got it all refilled and stocked up just in case there's a shortage. So I think with the kits and the One Wellness Elite membership, they can sleep a lot easier at night, because I think it's going to get Trump is showing no signs of backing down, and Xi Jinping, who has more political experience and power than Trump, he's not backing down either.
All right. And again, folks, you're going to save nearly $30 at checkout with my code STARNS. So when you go over to the wellness company, and I happen to be a customer as well. They promote and sponsor this program, but I am a customer, and I've been incredibly happy with the products that I've gotten. And I want to encourage you to get the kits. They have an incredible line of supplements, also information on healthy living, anti-aging, and their virtual care, where you can actually talk to a doctor. So a lot of great resources for you at twc.health/starnes. All right. Well, Dr. McCullough, we always appreciate you coming on the program, and you're always just so informative. And I think it really helped put a lot of people's minds at ease today.
Thank you.
All right. There we go. Dr. Peter McCullough, the Chief Scientific Officer at the Wellness Company. And again, when you go to the website, you're going to save $30 at checkout, and promo code STARNS is going to give you a 10% discount as well. So that's always a great thing there. All right, coming up tonight, folks, we are going to continue the conversation. We have Congressman Andy Harris from the House Freedom Caucus. He'll be joining us on the show tonight. Joe Biden is going to be speaking. You cannot make this up. Joe Biden is delivering some sort of a primetime address, so we'll be previewing that as well. Oh, by the way, CNN. They want you to know something. CNN wants you to know they really don't hate America. Cut 11.
For the record, since we heard President Trump say in the Oval Office that CNN hates our country, CNN does not hate our country. That should go without saying. I've been here for 32 years.
Yeah, you kind of hate America. Hate to tell you that, Dana Bash, but you hate America. And they're also condescending. But more importantly, you're just not entertaining, and that's very disappointing. Got to be somewhat entertaining in that business. Also, got to love Rachel Campos Duffy sitting down with President Trump, and our president, he is never too young. He is never too old to learn. Cut number one, please.
Mr. President, I'd like to teach you how to say, let's make America great again in Spanish. So, vamos a hacer America grande otra vez.
America grande otra vez.
I love our president. Thank you for that. And it's true. President Trump is making America great again, and I love it. All right, folks, it has been a wild day. We've got a full lineup coming tomorrow as we head into Good Friday. And as good as Friday is, what happened on Sunday is even better. And I love this time of year. It's a wonderful time of year as we celebrate the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm telling you right here now, ladies and gentlemen, if we can understand that our problems are not political in nature, but they are religious in nature, then we're going to be able to turn this ship around. I have no doubt about it. All right, just a reminder. And again, we don't have a lot of ways to promote our new books, but this radio show and this audience, you guys are one of the most literary audiences out there, and you guys are going to help put us on the New York Times bestseller list. I absolutely believe it. And you can do that by going to your favorite bookstore right now and getting yourself a pre-ordered copy of Star Spangled Blessings Devotions for Patriots. This is a book that you're going to want to read. Your grandkids, your kids are going to want to read this book to learn about so many great American patriots who made America great because of their faith in God. So again, get yourself a pre-ordered copy wherever you buy your books, Star Spangled Blessings. All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. Been a great day. Get out there. Have a good one. We'll see you tonight on Newsmax.